Hello, I'm Aurora. May the Force be with you.
So, let's do some revisionist history. Here's what I know. Number one, pronounce the two-letter place beginning with an O for me because I'm not from Norway.
Oos.
See, I knew that. And it's not Oz.
No, Oos.
Oos. See, we could spend hours on that alone. So we've got Norway, we've got a sister who played piano, we've got that you performed at school.
I can tell you a bit of me as a child, how young Aurora was before she started, you know, doing any of this. I was quite a strange child, but there are many strange, you know, children in this world, and I was one of them. And I wore a superhero robe, is that it? A cape. To school.
To school.
I did, and I had imaginary friends.
Until who was your best imaginary friend?
It was a boy called Alk.
Alk.
A-L-K.
A-L-K.
Yes, Alk.
As opposed to Alp, who actually was a...
Yeah, kind of. Kind
Alk.
Of. Yeah. And he... I couldn't see him because he was invisible, obviously. But I knew that he had blue hair.
So he was a punk rocker, even back then?
No, he was like
was a superhero?
Like a snow boy. He was a snow child from Norway. Just, like a frozen human being.
Did your parents know about Alk?
Yeah, they even made, when we ate a dinner, he had his own plate at the table.
And did he eat everything he was supposed to eat?
His food was also invisible, of course, you know, I made him dinner, invisible dinner.
What was his favorite food?
I think it was like pancakes or something. I can't remember, but I think it was, you know, the same thing I liked, you know, so we could eat the same thing. And I think that was pancakes. It still is, really. I love pancakes.
How far from Bergen is Oos?
Well, Oos is about 40 minutes from Bergen.
Okay, so but the
place,
suburb.
Yeah, but the place I live is another 15 minutes away from Oos.
Right.
So I live even more far away from Bergen. It's almost in the forest. It's by the sea, and it's in between four mountains. It's quite lovely there.
So do you think growing up in a smaller place, not growing up in a city, that there's kind of peace and an opportunity for you to really imagine as a young child?
Yes, absolutely. And I was very, you know, I always had a really crazy imagination, and I always met up a lot, almost everything. And you know, going to school, I just made my own stories, and I drifted away, and I forgot why I was at school. It was very like, I don't know, I just had a really big need to, I don't know, for everything to be even more wonderful and exciting. And my brain helped me with that.
So I'm going to cover some things that you would normally answer. I know at age 6 you started playing classical piano. I know that your sister gave up piano at 16, so there was a bit of overlap, and she was, 10 years older. I can relate to all the reasons you loved classical, because classical allowed you to fill in the blanks. There's no lyrics. But where was that transition in learning classical, which is very apparent in your music? But where was that transition where you woke up one morning and said, you know, I'm not going to be a symphonic with the Philharmonic classical pianist. I'm going to be a singer, and I'm going to do other things.
It was quite easy because I was really determined to learn English and to learn how to speak and to read English, because my biggest hero in the world was Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen. And, you know, I listened to them every day as a child. And at the age of 9, that was when I started to write songs with lyrics. And obviously, I wanted to write them on guitar, because my big heroes, they wrote songs on guitar. So that was kind of it. And I didn't know much, you know, I was self-taught, yeah,
sure.
Both on guitar and piano. And that's why, you know, I could only do the easy stuff on guitar. And that's kind of how it all started. You know, it was more about the lyrics than, you know, the way the melody moved, or if there was some crazy chords in there. It was more about just telling the story in a good way, that could make people just focus on the story itself, kind of.
You said that today you're swimming in a very good soup and you're almost drowning, and that was a quote. Are you aware of, I mean, I know you're aware of what's happening, but what are your feet when you in between doing this and getting up there, what are you thinking? Is that, I love the quote of swimming in a very good soup, and, you know, right at the, because it's not even the water, but it's soup, right? Can have the noodles and the carrots and the, you know, so there's all sorts of things in that sea, right?
Yeah, but, you know, what I mean about soup is that it's a, this is kind of a certain thing, and there's a, it's a very good thing, it's a wonderful thing, but, you know, humans are not meant to swim in a soup, and that's kind of how I feel sometimes, that it's very strange. And, you know, the getting, having your photo taken with people is quite strange. And it's not the thing I will ever...
Oh, the photo, Greta. <over here.
laughs> It's just a very weird, you know, it's a strange thing for me. But I kind of, I always get very nervous before going on stage. But it helps me to just change my focus. Because I know that now people actually, they come to my show. And sometimes they pay to see me and to hear me. And that's why I need to make sure that they feel like it was worth it. And I just try to give all those people the best experience, you know, this week at least. And I just try to do, I don't know, but that helps to just think about the audience instead of yourself, kind of.
Right.
That helps me.
So I have a series of pictures that I took at Rough Trade last week that people have commented on, and they said, was it really like that? Now, you're saying, what was the really like that? My daughter looked at your dress. It was the polka dot dress, and she said, that's a really pretty dress, Dad. But then she said, you captured something, and other people did too, and that is your hands. You do the most amazing things with your hands on stage. It's like you're conducting your songs, but it's really distinctive, and it's really wonderful. And that's not to make you aware of something you're not aware of, because you are. But the pictures are fabulous because there's all of this, you know, your face is very clear and your dress is very clear. But then there's this wonderful blur that's going on in this series of pictures. I could show them to you. And I purposely caught them that way. So is that when you were younger and when you were imagining, is that part of the, you know, superhero and all of that? Is it just that it's the emotion coming out?
Well, yeah, it is. And all my songs are quite emotional. And I guess I think I would find it very difficult to sing them standing still. I don't think that would be possible even, because I need to tell, you know, there's so much emotions in them, and I can't, I'm quite tiny, you know, so I need to, so it kind of explodes on the way out of my body, and I think that's why I kind of have these spasms now and then.
I was in Los Angeles probably 8 years ago already at a music convention, and about 10 of us got pulled in by the label into this small room, and they said, we're going to have this woman play guitar for you. And her name is Katy Perry. It must have been amazing to have her come to your show. Was that like an amazing surprise?
Well, I've never been that, I never cared that much about celebrities. But I think, you know, but obviously, you know, I've seen her on stage and I've seen her a documentary, and I thought that was really lovely, and she seems like a very wonderful person. But what I appreciate most is that she, you know, it was nice to meet her without her costume and her wigs and her makeup.
Yeah, wearing a baseball cap.
So I met Caitlin, not Katy Perry, and that was really wonderful to just meet her. And it was very strange, and she was just a normal girl, and she just wanted to talk, and she, you know, it was just, and I actually asked her if it was horrible to be a famous person, and she said, sometimes, but most of the time, it's wonderful.
I watched you at Rough Trade the other night, and you seemed so surprised by how fervent and excited the crowd was. It's still a wonderment to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because it's not... It's not a thing you should take for granted. It's just, I still get very moved by it. It's just, I don't know, it's, yeah, kind of. It's just a very, it's so strange every time, but it's very wonderful, and it's very surreal to have people giving so much love to you.
You have a great team behind you. Now, I don't know all that team. I certainly know about Glasnost. Did you have a manager? How did that all happen?
Well, I got signed by my management 2 years ago. Made, they're called, and they're really great, and I wouldn't have been here without them. I know that.
Just 2 years ago, that's incredible.
Yeah, 2 years ago, and then I had my first real show 1 year ago at this Norwegian festival called Bylarm in Oslo, and that was kind of what got me signed, because after that festival, we got, so many mails, and it was very strange. It was very strange, and my manager just got like 100 mails a day suddenly about people wanting to, you know, be a part of this team. And then after a while, you know, because I didn't really feel it when I always needed to meet the people, but I never felt, you know, I never felt it, but I did feel it when I met Glasnost. And when I met Decca, I think it was 6 months after the performance. So they were quite late in, even, you know. But still, we waited, you know, almost 6 months before we decided to sign to anyone, even though we had many options before that. But it just felt very real. And they care about me and my music, which I think is very special in this industry. And I think I'm very lucky to be signed by them.
Is the U.S. daunting to you? I mean, this is such a big place. You've done a short tour. You're going to go back to your home. You're going to do some things in Europe. And then you're going to have to come back here and support the album, do the big tour and all of this over and over again. Is that daunting? Or have you just kind of taken a deep breath and said, you know, I've kind of signed up for this?
Well, I am taking a deep breath, but I can hold my breath for quite a long time, actually. So I think that will be fine. And I'm also quite good at swimming in soups, so I think I will survive, but I'm quite scared about it as well. But I just want to be able to continue to do what I do, and I guess I have to just keep on going. But I miss my home, though. I miss the trees at home and the silence. And there's so many people in the world. I've never seen this many people, you know, at one place. Because I'm not used to that in Norway. I think around 20 people live, you know, in my area. So, you know, you get the picture. But I think I'm ready for it. But I haven't really been ready for anything that's happened the last year. So I think I'm just going to keep on doing it as I've been doing it for the last year, just, I don't know. Yeah, but it's strange. I don't even want to think about what might happen. But I'm very excited too, of course, but you know, it's strange. I'm going to be a Jedi about it, I think, and just try to do my best.
What I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside is the bread, and then anything you want to play in between, and it becomes 40 minutes of nonstop music.